RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
The news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo sends Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Tejo to visit House. Bank Indonesia says Indonesia's financial system stability is still safe. The Indonesian government to send two intensification teams to evacuate Indonesians in Yemen. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has ordered Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Tejo Edi Purdiatno and other related ministers to explain the revision of the National Police Chief nomination to the House of Representatives. Joko Widodo has dropped the controversial nomination of Commissioner General Budi Gunawan following the latest legal problems choosing Commissioner General Badruddin Haiti as the new candidate. Despite having accepted an official nomination letter from Jokowi, the House has refused to hold a confirmation hearing for Badruddin, as a majority of House factions had approved Budi's appointment. The lawmakers argue that Budi still deserved the nomination after a pretrial verdict annulled his status as a suspect in a bribery case. The Attorney General's Office, AGO, is currently reviewing his case. Bank Indonesia stated the stability of the rupiah financial system is still safe amidst the weakening of rupiah against US dollar. It was revealed in the discussion, Measuring and Improving Durability Indonesia's Current Financial System, on Wednesday at Megawati Institute in Jakarta. On the occasion, Deputy Macroprudential of Bank Indonesia, Dwi Tia Putra S. Besar, said the stability can be seen from financial market and financial institutions in Indonesia are still safe.
Secara umum, kondisi sistem keuangan kita masih...
In general, the condition of our financial system is still safe. So if we look in terms of financial market, capital market, stock market, bond, despite experiences capital outflows in recent weeks, but the indicator shows still in the normal zone. Moreover, on the side of banks, financial institutions, insurance, finance companies, pension funds are still in safe condition. Ritya Putra added, from the term of liquidity, Indonesia tend to decrease, but their liquidity risk is still well above the threshold, which is 8.5%. Even in the last position, has been increased due to declining demand for money, and mostly amount of money is in the bank. Today's concern is aimed at small banks which have core capital between 1 to 5 trillion rupiah, or about 100 million to 500 million US dollar. Those banks are vulnerable to withdrawal due to competition with the large banks. The Indonesian government will send two intensification teams to Yemen to help evacuating Indonesian citizens on Thursday, April 2, 2015. The team consists of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Indonesian Police, Indonesian Air Force, and the National Intelligence Agency. The first team consisting of 15 people will leave on Thursday morning, led by Susapto Anggoro Broto of the Indonesian Air Force, and will operate in Sana'a City, while the second team consisting of 8 people will leave on Thursday afternoon, led by Yusran Ambari of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and will operate in Al-Mukalla City. It was stated by Director of Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entities, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, to the press on Wednesday in Jakarta.
Kondisinya, perkembangannya terus.
The condition is continuously dynamic hour per hour, so we cannot create fixed scenarios from the beginning. Later, the main team will be led by Mr. Sapto. He is a veteran. He has been assigned in Tripoli, in Tunisia, in Cairo and Damascus in evacuation operations. The second team will be led by Yusran Ambari. The aim of the second team is to enter Al-Mukalla, but it will go through the Oman border. There is a town named Salalah. There is an airport closest to the border. According to Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, the team to accelerate the evacuation of Indonesian citizens in Yemen will be on board Indonesian Air Force's Boeing 737 through Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta. Lalu Muhammad Iqbal said the Indonesian Air Force's Boeing 737 is not going to repatriate the Indonesian citizens from Yemen to Indonesia, but it will carry them from various cities in Yemen to the nearest and safest airport on the border prior to their repatriation to Indonesia. Lalu Muhammad Iqbal explained, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi has communicated and asked for help the ministers of foreign affairs of friendly countries such as India and China, which ships and military bases are around Yemen, to help during the evacuation process. North Korea has expressed a willingness to attend the Asian African Conference in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java, from April 18th to 24th. The Indonesian Foreign Ministry has received confirmation that a country led by Kim Jong-un will be represented by the President of the Presidium of the Supreme People's Assembly of North Korea, Kim Jong-nam. Foreign Ministry Asia Pacific and Africa Region Cooperation Director Benjamin Karnadi said on Wednesday his office had received a written notice on the matter from North Korea. The conference will be held in Jakarta from April 19th to 23rd and in Bandung on April 24th. It includes the Asia-Africa Business Summit and the Asian-African Carnival. The Indonesian government has invited 109 Asian and African heads of state to the event. The theme of the event is improving cooperation between countries in the South-South region. The Foreign Ministry has confirmed that 20 countries will take part in the meeting. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government seeks to boost foreign investment in several sectors, particularly the food and beverages sector, in a bid to rein on the rupiah depreciation against the US dollar. Director of Sectoral Promotion at the Coordinating Investment Board, Iqmal Lukman, on Wednesday that the board has encouraged Japan to invest in the food industry for investment diversification. Japan has placed 50% of its investment in Indonesia in the manufacturing business, 90% of which in the automotive sector. Therefore, BKPM plans to widen Japan's market in Indonesia. Lukman added that President Joko Widodo's recent visit to Japan had lured the interest of several industries that plan to invest millions of dollars in Indonesia. Indonesia will host an international conference at the end of April to attract investment that will facilitate the country's transition into a green economy and ensure a sustainable future. Titled Tropical Landscape Summit, a Global Investment Opportunity, the meeting will draw around 500 top business executives from national as well as international companies on April 27 and 28 in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo is slated to officially open the event with multi-stakeholder engagement hosted by the Indonesian government in collaboration with the UN Office for Red Plus coordination in Indonesia. The last item, Indonesia State Electricity Company PLN will begin the tender process for the development of 47 diesel fuel power plants to help with the government's plans to provide electricity for Indonesia's outer borders and outlying islands. PLN Director for Strategic Planning and Primary Energy, Amin Subakti, said that the due processes were slated to kick off the next couple of weeks. According to Amin, diesel plants will be used to power these areas because the electrical output required their areas is relatively low and also because these plants could be built in a shorter amount of time. Furthermore, such plants could be used to electrify other islands in extraordinary cases. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. President Joko Widodo sends Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Tejo Edi Pudjatno to visit the House. Bank Indonesia says Indonesia's financial system stability is still safe. The Indonesian government to send two intensification team to evacuate Indonesians in Yemen. That was the news.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Development in Transport Sector. Listener, in some parts of the world, especially in developing countries, development of transportation is one of the main issues of serious concern among many people. For Indonesia, for example, for the country consisting of the sea and thousands of islands, transport is an important sector to be placed on development priorities. It is highly recognized by the President of Indonesia, Joko Widodo. It is still fresh in Indonesian people's memory since the election campaign of President and Vice President, Joko Widodo has already campaigned Tol C program. Although it is underestimated by several parties because it is not something new and it goes in doubt, we can see the transport development is now underway. For sea transport, it has been the capacity of major ports following the construction of new ports. On another occasion, on a state visit to neighboring countries, the president did not forget to offer the participation of foreign investors in infrastructure development in Indonesia. The latest is the signing of the Memorandum of Cooperation Development Project of Jakarta-Bandung Express Train between the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises with the National Development and Reform Commission of China, witnessed by Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Chinese President Xi Jinping. Of course, Indonesian people agreed that without the development of the transport sector, the development of other sectors will meet obstacles. It can be concluded the transport sector is supporting the realization of the development of the nation in general. Imagine the availability of transportation supported by adequate infrastructure will certainly facilitate and expedite the mobilization of resources and products produced from one place to another. Eligibility is an opportunity for areas that previously were in the category of disadvantaged areas to accelerate development. It is so much potential that can be developed and it can provide economic benefits in every inch of the territory of Indonesia. However, it remains a discourse that it is not touch or less attractive for investors. If the developments of the transport sector as well as improvements in all lines have been realized as expected, it is not exaggerating to say that Indonesia, with its myriad potential, will increasingly lure investors from within and outside the country. Indonesia is able to better establish the pattern of economic relations. Indonesia does not have to always be a market of products of other countries, but also be able to flood the world market with Indonesian products. And listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Anya Sana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on April 2, 1930, when Haile Selassie I was installed as Ethiopian emperor. Haile Selassie is an important figure in Ethiopia and Africa, especially in the movement to fight against colonialism. The Ethiopian emperor also attended the Asia-Africa Conference in Bandung in 1955. Haile Selassie I was born as Tafari Makonnen. When Zhao II became emperor, Tafari was appointed as a regent. As the regent, he acted as acting emperor when the emperor was abroad and also became the heir of the imperial throne. When Zhao II died on April 2, 1930, Tafari took full control of the government and was crowned Haile Selassie I. Haile Selassie was overthrown in a military coup on September 12, 1974. And the next event was in 1982 when Argentinian forces launched the invasion to the Falkland Islands. The Falkland Islands are an archipelago in the South Atlantic Ocean on the Patagonian Shelf. The archipelago, with an area of 4,700 square miles, comprises East Falkland, West Falkland, and 776 smaller islands. As a British overseas territory, the Falklands have internal self-governance, and the United Kingdom takes responsibility for their defense and foreign affairs. The island's capital is Stanley on East Falkland. Controversy exists over the Falklands' discovery and subsequent colonization by Europeans. At various times, the islands have had French, British, Spanish, and Argentine settlements. Britain reasserted its rule in 1833, although Argentina maintains its claim to the islands. On April 2, 1982, Argentine forces launched the invasion of the Falkland Islands, beginning the Falklands War. The Argentines mounted amphibious landings, with the invasion ending with a battle and final surrender of Government House. And the last event was in 2005 when Pope John Paul II died. Pope John Paul II, who was born on May 18, 1920 and died on April 2, 2005, was a Roman Catholic priest, bishop, and cardinal who eventually rose to become a pope. He was elected by the Second Papal Conclave of 1978, which was called after Pope John Paul I, who was elected in August after the death of Pope Paul VI, died after 33 days. Then Cardinal Wojtyla was elected on the third day of the conclave and adopted his predecessor's name out of tribute to the deceased former pontiff. In the years since his death, John Paul II has since been made a saint by the Church. He is referred to as Pope Saint John Paul II or Saint John Paul the Great, for example, as a name for institutions. He was the second longest-serving pope in modern history after Pope Pius IX, who served for nearly 32 years from 1846 to 1878. Born in Poland, John Paul II was the first non-Italian pope since the Dutch Pope Adrian VI, who served from 1522 to 1523. John Paul II is recognized as helping to end communist rule in his native Poland and eventually all of Europe. John Paul II significantly improved the Catholic Church's relations with Judaism, Islam, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and the Anglican Communion. He upheld the Church's teachings on such matters as artificial contraception and the ordination of women, but also supported the Church's Second Vatican Council and its reforms. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with today's focus entitled Asian African Conference is used to face ASEAN Economic Community 2015. So stay tuned. Listener, Indonesian government will make Asian African Summit to be held in April 2015 in Bandung, West Java, as a strategic momentum which should be used primarily as an entrance to foreign exchange which will be favorable for Indonesia. This was stated by Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister A.M. Fakhir in Jakarta. Foreign exchange can come from a variety of cooperation, one of which is from tourism sector. There is a target of the Ministry of Tourism which wants to double the number of foreign tourists. Currently, the target is about 10 million tourists, much different from that of other ASEAN countries' foreign tourist arrivals. Chief Executive of Economic Diplomacy of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ngurah Swajaya, said, doubling the number of foreign tourists are very reasonable. There is an increasing demand for visas for tourist destinations. Ngurah said he is optimistic that the target of reaching 20 million tourists can be achieved. He added there is always improvement and have started to widen to some countries, such as the Central Asian countries, which based on the observation of the visa request, there is an increasing demand. What to be considered is to settle the obstacles in the national sphere, such as improving infrastructure to become more attractive and enhancing tourist destinations. In this way, it will be easier for the foreign ministry to promote tourism destination in the country. While on the other hand, hotel workers are considered to be the most superior services sectors will be mobilized freely in the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, in 2015. Vice Chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce, or KADIN, overseeing employment, Beni Sutrisno, said that hotel workers are due to the magnitude of the role of international operators in the hotel business in the country. Beni pointed out many international hotels opening branches in Indonesia also contribute to improving the competitiveness of hotel workers. As for the most vulnerable sector is labor in the manufacturing sector, as in the automotive and electronic industries. This is due to the manufacturing sector in Indonesia still has no clear standardization. And listener, that was Focus.
Listener, here are the headlines of several national newspapers published today, April 2, 2015. I'm Dolat Pani. We start from Kompas. Kompas newspaper in today's headline writes, Indonesian citizen in Yemen. At least 94 Indonesian citizens, the majority of students, still survive in Aden, Yemen, awaiting for evacuation certainty. To speed up the evacuation of Indonesian citizens in Yemen, the government of Indonesia sent two teams, and the first team left Jakarta on Thursday morning. Fighting in Yemen continues in a number of locations. Saudi Arabia's coalition airstrikes continue to attack the Houthi militia forces who are loyal to former President Ali Abdullah Saleh. Alwi Zaid, an Indonesian student majoring in religion at the Institute of Imam Al-Bahaini, Riwayat Aden, said, 84 Indonesian students persist in boarding school dormitory. Four workers with family, including four children aged 5 to 9 years old, living in company's housing. In Jakarta, Deputy Foreign Minister A.M. Fakir said, the government considers all options to evacuate citizens from Yemen. To speed up the evacuation, two teams sent in from the border of Saudi Arabia and Oman. Tempo newspaper writes, Puan Iswar Sukarno's descendants still lead PDIP. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, who is also member of board of the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle, PDIP, Puan Maharani, assessed the descent of the Indonesian first president, Sukarno, deserved to lead the both party. According to Puan, PDIP cannot be separated from her grandfather. In a special interview with Tempo in Karanganyar, Central Java, yesterday, for her, it is not a problem, must or not, from the descent of Sukarno. Regarding her chances of replacing her mother, Megawati Sukarnoputri, as chairwoman of the PDIP, Puan admitted she reluctant to just dream. The chairwoman of the Political and Interinstitutional Relations of PDIP states that she is concentrated as a minister in the cabinet of President Joko Widodo. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia writes, China invests $2 billion in sea toll projects. China expressed its commitment to invest $2 billion in sea highway projects, or about 24 trillion rupiahs. It was said to be the head of the investment coordinating board BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, to Media Indonesia in Jakarta on yesterday. According to Frankie, Indonesia actually offered the sea toll project to China and Japan to develop the port of Malakayati, Belawan, Jambi, Tanjung Perak, and Tanjung Mas. However, Chinese investor is more serious in the sea toll project. In contrast, Japan still needs to explore first the sea toll project. China is interested in the project because of the country's marine highway also develops the marine Silk Road of the 21st century. They want to unify the two mega projects, said Frankie. In addition to developing the 24 ports around the country to support the sea toll project, the government will fix the road crews on feeder lines. Chairman of the University of Hasanuddin Budiman said that budget funds to 2 trillion, and now it examines the people in eastern Indonesia. We end the headlines today with Business Indonesia, which writes tax allowance supplied by May the 1st. After delayed for many times, the government finally released the government's revised regulation number 52/2011 on the tax abatement facilities or tax allowance, and to be effective on May the 1st, 2015. Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Sofian Jalil, revealed that Joko Widodo signed the revised draft on Wednesday April the 1st. He stressed, in the next 30 days, a regulation revision claimed to be more flexible and friendly towards investors can be applied. Well, listener, that was today's headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has coordinating political, legal and security affairs minister Tejo Edi Purdiatno and other related ministers to explain the revision of the National Police Chief nomination to the House of Representatives. Bank Indonesia stated the stability of the Indonesian financial system is still safe amidst the weakening of rupiah against US dollar. It was revealed in the discussion measuring and improving durability Indonesia's current financial system on Wednesday at Megawati Institute in Jakarta. The Indonesian government will send two intensification teams to Yemen to help evacuating Indonesian citizens on Thursday, April 2, 2015. The team consists of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Indonesian Police, Indonesian Air Force, and the National Intelligence Agency. North Korea has expressed a willingness to attend the Asian African Conference in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java from April 18 to 24. The Indonesian Foreign Ministry has received confirmation that the country led by Kim Jong-un will be represented by the President of the Presidium of the Supreme People's Assembly of North Korea, Kim Jong-nam. The Indonesian government seeks to boost foreign investments in several sectors, particularly the food and beverages sector, in a bid to rein on the rupiah depreciation against the US dollar. Indonesia will host an international conference at the end of April to attract investment that will facilitate the country's transition into a green economy and ensure a sustainable future. Indonesia State Electricity Company, PLN, will begin the tender process for the development of 47 diesel fuel power plants to help with the government's plans to provide electricity for Indonesia's outer borders and outlying islands. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Dalat Pane. In today's edition, I invite you to travel to North Sulawesi. So, stay tuned. North Minahasa is a regency in North Sulawesi with its capital city, Air Madidi. This regency has a strategic location because it is between two cities, namely Manado and the port city of Bitung. Its location near the sea makes this regency has many stunning marine attractions, among others sea park on the Gangka Island, Lihaga Islands, Nine Islands, and Talise Island. Besides the island, there are also many exotic beaches which are still very natural. One of them is located in the Kalinaon village, East Likupang sub-district. The Kalinaon villagers named the beach as Sampirang Beach. Sampirang Beach has a long coastline with some white sand. During the low tide, the beach turns to be larger. Small fish that is caught in coral and the seagrass become the main attraction of this beach. While visiting the beach, you do not need to worry about the scorching heat that will hit you. In Sampirang, there are many coconut trees that are ready to be used as natural shelter, complete with grass that is still clean. If you want to spend the night on the beach, you can stay in a villa. Sampirang Beach has crystal clear water with its underwater beauty. You can swim on this beach. In addition to its beautiful underwater scenery, the land is also beautiful. Sampirang Beach is often used as a pre-wedding photo shooting location. At the left end of Sampirang Beach, there are black stones and rocks jutting into the sea. If you want to challenge your adrenaline, please try to climb the cliffs. In front of the Sampirang Beach, there is also a small island named Ponteng Island that is not less exotic. The island is uninhabited. You can hire a fishing boat to reach the island, and you can enjoy the landscape of North Minahasa from the sea. Sampirang Beach has not had adequate means of supporting facilities. But when you come right on holidays, the villagers usually sell the food around the beach. However, if you want to look for calm and quiet atmosphere, you should come on weekdays. You will certainly be fascinated by the beauty of Sampirang. If you come in weekdays, do not forget to bring your own food. To reach Sampirang Beach from the city of Manado, the capital of North Sulawesi, you can use land transportation to the Kalinaon village for 1 hour drive. listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Sampiran Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, voice listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we present you the World Autism Awareness Day. Autism is not a contagious disease or curable disease. Autism is brain growth disorder. This makes autism patients have different view of life and problems coming to them. Founder of Yayasan Bina Abhyakta Foundation, Novira, explained the meaning of autism. Autism is neural growth disorder with disturbed the abilities of communication, attitude, socialization, and imagination. Basically, it is connected to how someone responds to the outside world. In Indonesia, the number of autism patients increases from year to year. The cause of autism indeed remains unknown clearly. Handling autistic children is not easy. It needs extra patience to accompany autistic children. In addition, the role of people around them is important. The increasing number of autistic patients in Indonesia makes the parents of autistic children form various kinds of foundations or associations. The aim is sharing information on autism, like how parents can accompany or face children who have brain growth disorder. This foundation also accommodates autistic children to learn well and develop their abilities in various fields. However, behind the effort of autistic children's parents, they still hope for the role of the government. Back to Novira, who explained how the Indonesian government treats autism patients.
Saya lihat penanganan autis di Indonesia itu masih kurang ya, terutama perhatian dari
I see that the government does not really pay attention to autism treatment in Indonesia. It is because mostly it is about business. So, autism treatment is like commercial. In fact, the government should handle this seriously because these children or individual, if they are adult, are Indonesian people too, who have the same right in this country.
Individu ini, kalau sudah dewasa ya, ini rakyat Indonesia juga yang mempunyai hak yang sama di negara kita gitu.
Such a point of view, as revealed by Novira, is still found among Indonesian people. Overall, there are autism patients who get unpleasant treatment and underestimated. Actually, many autism patients have the same rights to live a proper life. This shouldn't happen in a developing country like Indonesia. Autistic children do not pay attention to their surroundings, but they have particular ways to do it. Autistic children can develop well. Even some of them have IQ above the average. The conclusion, as a normal human, we should not underestimate other people's abilities, because behind someone's physical and mental perfection, there must be perfection. Happy World Autism Awareness Day. Hopefully, this day will encourage people and the government to be more concerned about autistic children. Listener, that ends today's miscellany on the World Autism Awareness Day. I'm Hernita. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome to Music Corner. In today's edition, I present you an Indonesian group band called Republic, a band that was founded in 2004 and has released an album in 2009 entitled Aku dan Perasaan Ini, or I and This Feeling. Well, listener, now let's listen a song from Republic, Adinda. Happy listening. Republic Group Band was officially formed on March 24, 2004 in Bogor City, West Java. The band consists of six personnel, namely Ruri Herdian Wantogia, or Ruri as vocalist, Heksananta Sayuti, rhythm guitarist, Lavi Hariyatullafian, bassist, Bakhtiar Rahman Hamjah, keyboardist, and backing vocal, Agus Mulyana, drummer, and Harry Masrula Ahmad, lead guitar. Each personnel firstly had their own band, and they formed the band because their previous bands were Fakum. This synergizes with the spirit of nationalism, and the young people who are mostly students form Republic Group Band under a label EMI Music Indonesia. Republic's first album entitled Punya Arti, or Have a Meaning, which was released in early 2007, and the second repackaged album entitled Arti Baru, or New Meaning. Republic Group Band also released a religious album, Hidupku di Jalanku, or My Life on the Path, with six mainstay songs in 2007. Later in 2009, Republic launched their second album, Aku dan Perasaan Ini, or I and This Feeling. Well, listener, now let's listen to a song entitled Ijinkan Aku Mencintaimu, or Allow Me to Love You. A song with the accompaniment of a beautiful acoustic guitar. Let's enjoy the song.
Cintaimu, meski kau tak anggap ku ada, ku tak akan memintamu untuk mencintaiku. Ku tak berharap kau cintaiku, ku tak berharap kau balas cintaku. Yang ku harap kau izinkan aku mencintaimu. Cinta ini sudah terlanjur ku miliki dari samamu, meski ragaku tak bisa bersamamu. Ku tak berharap kau cintaiku, ku tak berharap kau balas cintaku. Yang ku mencintaimu. Cinta ini sudah terlanjur ku miliki dari dirimu. Biarkan cintaku bersamamu, meski ragaku tak bisa bersamamu.
The band, which is popular with their song Hanya Ingin Kau Tahu or I Just Want You to Know, admits that the concept of their album was prepared well. They over a lot of different things with the first album, among other arrangements which are more beautiful and broader musical exploration. Well, listener, to end our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Karena Cinta or Because of Love and Setelah Kau Pergi or After You Go. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Seharusnya aku mencintai dirimu sepenuh hati, karena kau di sana menghiraukan cintaku untuk kesekian kali. Engkau tahu aku memiliki dirimu sepenuh hati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.